Well, there was a bit of a close call last week where the government's marijuana legalization or cannabis legalization, I don't even know what term we're supposed to be using anymore, pot, weed, dope, whatever, where there was a bill in the Senate that if it hadn't passed, the entire attempt to legalize whatever by the summer was going to fall apart. It just wouldn't hold together because it was a legislative do or die moment. And the liberals, having declared a series of senators independent, suddenly realized that they might not have enough votes in the Senate to actually pass the bill in the face of conservative opposition. So the liberals ended up whipping a bunch of independent senators. Now, whipping, of course, is the legislative term for, you know, enforcing discipline and making sure enough people show up to make sure the vote carries. So it kind of brings into question whether or not these senators are actually independent or not. I'm just kidding. Everybody knows they're really not. It's just a branding thing. However, the vote did end up narrowly passing. So the marijuana legalization effort does continue apace. One of the things we've learned about the upcoming glorious future of legalized cannabis in Canada will be what the packaging looks like. And it's sort of what I would imagine if you were walking around a battlefield and that there'd been combat engineers going around marking like unexploded munitions with little flags. I kind of like imagine what those little flags would look like, and that's basically what our marijuana packaging is going to look like in this country. David Clement joins me now. He's the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumers Choice Center. It is an interesting kind of branding, and the packaging requirements are also kind of strange, David. Walk me through this. If you're a Canadian consumer, sometime in the fall, you go to the store, you want to buy a little cannabis, what are you seeing in the store?
Yeah, so you're going to walk into a store, you're going to see a variety of cannabis products with virtually no branding on them, so primarily black. Coloring, you'll have the brand name and maybe a tiny logo in the corner, a huge warning sticker, and then a giant kind of warning label that lists out all the various potential risks associated with using cannabis. So for the most part, they've entirely standardized cannabis packaging. It resembles what they're also trying to do for all tobacco products. And, I mean, our perspective is that this is ridiculously hypocritical when you look at the fact that we don't have any of these restrictions in terms of packaging and branding for something like alcohol. So it just seems incredibly silly for the government to be so heavy-handed on what will be a legal product, given that we don't have these restrictions and rules for alcohol.
What's interesting to me is, I mean, I'm not sure if you're a craft beer guy, David, but I certainly am. Mm-hmm. And if you spend much time shopping the aisles for craft beer, something that's actually quite distinctive of a craft beer is the incredible detail that goes into the packaging. I mean, a tall boy of craft beer is often in its own way a work of art because these craft breweries know they need to be distinctive to stand out when they don't have the brand recognition of one of the big multinational beer brewing giants, right? So they go big on the artistry of the packaging here. It doesn't make a bad beer good, but it can make a bad beer stand out maybe for that first time purchase.
Yeah, and you know what? It will help convey a lot of information to consumers. And this is really important for cannabis because it's not a legal product right now. A lot of people will be entering that market for the first time. They don't know the difference between different strains or cannabis with no CBD or with THC and all the variations. It would be like going into an LCBO and not understanding the difference, if we're looking at beer, between a Bud Light and a strong sour craft beer, or not knowing the difference between Johnny Walker Scotch and Captain Morgan Spiced Rum. And so it's important that we have that branding because it actually helps consumers make informed decisions so they're not buying the wrong products. They're buying the products that they want for their desired outcome. So, I mean, that's a huge, huge red flag with it. And then the second side to that is it does make it very difficult for smaller companies or smaller licensed producers to enter into the market because they have no way of catching the attention of consumers, like you said, with craft beer and kind of beautiful branding and things like that. That will all be prohibited. if these regulations go through.
Now, I don't pretend to know much about marijuana. It's never been my drug of choice. I mentioned craft beer for a reason, I guess. But in terms of the ability to go in and have a variety of product, if you are a savvy consumer of cannabis and if you understand all of the differences that I would never even have heard of, how do you go into a place like this under the proposed packaging and branding rules here? I mean, will there be the information given in text form? Like, will you be able to see the kind of all the information about the kind of cannabis you'd be purchasing? Will it be there, even if you maybe have to read the fine print for it?
So it's still unclear how it will look in its entirety when it's finished. What we do know is it will have THC content, but what we do know as well is that it won't list the desired effects. It's prohibited for these companies to list the desired effects. And so an example would be a certain strain of cannabis that is used to help people sleep or ease people's headaches and things like that. Usually that type of information would be incorporated into the branding so that consumers know. They go and they go, oh, this is the product that doesn't make me high. It just helps me sleep. That, for the most part, is going to be not on the package and prohibited. So it's going to be difficult for even the savviest of consumers or the most knowledgeable of consumers to go in and really understand the difference between these products outside of picking up the package, trying to figure out what brand it is, trying to figure out the different kind of small items they do include on the packaging, as opposed to what we would have with alcohol, which is usually quite easy. You go into the beer store in Ontario and you say, okay, there's Molson Canadian. I've had that before. I know what it is. I recognize that. Boom, I pick up that case and I go home with it. So it's going to make it a lot more difficult for consumers in terms of making that informed decision, understanding the difference between products. And that really does matter. I mean, it's, like I said, it's an illegal. It's not legal now. It's going to be legal. We should treat it as we treat other legal products like alcohol. So it's just so silly that we have this discrepancy between the two.
Speaking with David Clement, he's the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. David, it's funny. Someone pointed out to me in an email, and they're bang on about this, is, and obviously I'm not comparing cannabis to a noxious chemical, but he did point out that even if you go into your local grocery store and you're in the house cleaning aisle and you're looking at all the various blends of like real brands of really strong burning bleach, even they have fancy packaging and they're gussied up, right? It's not like we insist on putting anything that could possibly be bad for you in a negative package here. You go down that aisle here and you've got your acidic floor polish, you've got your strong detergents, and they're in a really fresh and, you know, a nice scent on the packaging, and there's bright colors and big text. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a strange blind spot that this is a product that we are attempting to bring out of the black market into the legalized sphere here, while also deterring the hell out of anyone actually making that move.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you highlight a great point. There's all sorts of scary things that consumers can purchase at a grocery store that, if used improperly, could have really terrible effects, obviously, if you look at something like bleach. But we allow for branding. We understand that having that branding is an important signal for consumers. And now for legal marijuana, which in comparison is relatively benign, we have these Orwellian standards being applied. From my perspective, I think that Health Canada is still stuck in that prohibition mentality, and they're really failing to realize that the biggest reason for legalizing in the first place is that the biggest reason for legalizing cannabis is that it should have never been illegal in the first place. So we're seeing that kind of older mentality of this should be illegal, it's extremely harmful, we need to treat it almost like a narcotic. We're seeing that attitude come from Health Canada, which is so unfortunate because most people understand, obviously, that treating it in that way is not appropriate given its relative harm and given how we treat other products that could harm individuals.
David, appreciate this. Thanks so much for coming on.
Have a good one. Thanks.
You too. David Clement is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center.